Welcome back, friends. This is Love Will Tear Us Apart, a podcast on your favorite complicated couples. In last week's episode, we dove into the story of Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham, one of my favorite couples. We explore the early days of their childhood, their relationship, and the first couple Fleetwood Mac albums. We also left on a story. Why am I saying we? It's just me. I left off with a story about Lindsey going bonkers in New Zealand and trying to hurt Stevie on stage and reportedly attacking his girlfriend, Carol Ann Harris, behind closed doors. In this episode, I'd like to pick up from there and continue on with the saga of Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham. First, a little house cleaning. I am recording this podcast in my house, and my cat is currently behind me. So if you hear light wheezing on the podcast, it is my cat. She has allergies. She was a former feral who has feline herpes of her mouth. We're giving her pills right now, which hopefully help. There's also a good chance she might attack me while I'm doing this podcast. For some reason, she really, really hates when I talk loudly. There's not much I can do about it because we humans live in a cat world. In 1980, Lindsey was dating Carol Ann Harris, a recording assistant he met in 1976. According to her memoir, Storms, Lindsey was controlling and abusive. She writes of how he could go from Jekyll to Hyde for no reason, and how he choked her or punched her on several occasions. He was incredibly jealous. He never trusted her. And there's this horrible story about how she lost their unborn child, and he didn't even care in the slightest. Upon doing research for this podcast, I was dismayed by a lot of Fleetwood Mac fans dismissing Carol Ann as a liar and a hanger-oner. It probably doesn't help that Lindsey mostly wrote negative songs about her, like Caroline on Tango in the Night. He sings, "She's so crazy, she's so lazy, keeps on coming, keeps you running." In a famous Rolling Stone article from 1984 called "Lindsey Buckingham, Lonely Guy," Lindsey's brother Greg said that Carol Ann was, quote, "a sweet young girl, very pleasant, but she changed to a music scene hardened, drug hardened person. It wasn't the same." Lindsey adds in the article that she was a small town girl who, quote, "found herself in a world of people who are not particularly responsible." He also said, quote, "got to the point where she had to move out. She's still not working. I'm still supporting her for the time being. We worked out an agreement where I would sort of keep her afloat for a couple years. I don't mind doing that." Carol Ann did have a cocaine problem, but that certainly does not excuse the abuse she says she endured. If her autobiography is true, which I believe it is, she experienced emotional and physical abuse that is utterly criminal. Her book certainly makes me skeptical of Lindsey Buckingham, and it's not just because of her story, but also the fact that he choked Stevie in front of the entire band only a handful of years later. I'll get more into that soon. Okay, so it's the 1980s. Lindsey is still with Carol Ann, and Stevie has had a string of paramours, including Mick Fleetwood, Don Henley, who she conceived a child with that she later aborted and wrote the song Sarah about, record producer Jimmy Iovine, and Eagles singer Joe Walsh, who she later said was the love of her life. She wrote the song "Has Anyone Ever Written Anything for You" off her solo album Wild at Heart for him. However, the two were so heavily into drugs, it doomed their relationship. Stevie's romances weren't the only crazy thing going on in her life. In 1982, her best friend from childhood, Robin Anderson, was diagnosed with terminal leukemia. Robin was also pregnant at the time. She decided to forego treatment in order to give birth to her son, Matthew. Matthew was born 3 months premature, and Robin died only 3 days later. The grief was unbearable for Stevie. She was on the road at the time promoting her first solo album, Belladonna. She says about that time, "I really didn't get to enjoy Belladonna. I found out that Robin was dying on the same day it went to number one. I never really thought about it till now, but that's what happened. And that should have been a time when I was the most happy and felt the most self-confident and successful. But actually, I really felt the most helpless because all the money in the world couldn't save this woman's life. She also said, "I was so devastated that I thought I was going to die with her." To deal with her grief, Stevie believed the best thing to do would be to marry Robin's widow, Kim, and to take care of baby Matthew. She admits it was a huge mistake, and she was never in love with Kim. The band and her friends were furious with her rash decision. The couple divorced only a few months later, and Stevie didn't see father or son for years. The 1980s were a very successful decade for Stevie Nicks. Though she was battling a drug and drinking problem for pretty much all of it, she had four successful solo albums. It was also a good decade for Lindsey Buckingham, as he too released two solo albums, but they were nowhere near as successful as Stevie's albums. This reportedly bothered Lindsey. In 1987, the band released their fifth studio album, Tango in the Night, a moody album that featured hits such as Little Lies and Everywhere. Lindsey contributed a couple of songs about Carol Ann, Tango in the Night, and the aforementioned Caroline, and Stevie, who wasn't able to contribute much to the album, mostly sang about going to rehab. In Mick Fleetwood's autobiography, he wrote that Lindsey and Stevie got along fine during the recording of this album, but it's what comes next that is infamous in Fleetwood Mac lore. The band wanted to tour for Tango in the Night, and Lindsey did not. He wanted to work on his own music. The band pleaded with him to go on the road, and he finally agreed. But then he quickly turned around and backtracked. The five band members gathered at Christine's house to talk things out, but Lindsey wouldn't budge. Mick wrote in his book that Stevie began to cry, and in a very Michael Corleone way, she says to Lindsey, "You've broken my fucking heart on this." Okay, so this is when things kind of get intense. And remember, this is all coming from Mick Fleetwood's autobiography. So Lindsey tells Stevie to stop attacking him. She says, "Watch out, Lindsey. There's other people in this room besides yourself." Lindsey reportedly responds with, "Oh shit, get this bitch out of my way and fuck the lot of you." Lindsey then storms out and Stevie runs after him. The two begin arguing in the driveway, and Stevie finally says, "Hey man, you'll never be in love with anyone but yourself." Okay, all kidding aside, this is when things get really bad. According to Mick, Lindsey grabs Stevie, slaps her, and then bends her over his car. In the unauthorized biography Gold Dust Woman by Stephen Davis, the author adds that Lindsey started to choke Stevie. After he's pulled off Stevie, Lindsey goes back into the house and screams, "Get that woman out of my life, that schizophrenic bitch!" Lindsey was upset with Mick's portrayal of him in his autobiography, and he denies that the event happened as described. In the Daily Mail in 2013, Lindsey said this about it. "There wasn't any physical violence. It was an unpleasant situation that day. But you have to ask yourself the question, if someone is beating on your chest because they don't want you to leave, isn't that in a way kind of flattering?" When Stevie was asked about it in 1995, she had this to say. "Because of that guilt I've always had about not leaving Fleetwood Mac, I flew off the couch and across the room to seriously attack him. And I did. I mean, I'm not really scary, but I can be fairly ferocious. And I grabbed him, you know, which almost got me killed. He ended up chasing me all the way out of Christine's maze-like house and down the street and back up the street. And he threw me against the car. And I screamed horrible obscenities at him, and I thought he was going to kill me. And I think he probably thought he was going to kill me, too. And I said to him, 'If the rest of the people in the band don't get you, my family will. My dad and brother will kill you.'" After that episode, Lindsey was out, and the band decided to continue without him. They replaced him with two guitarists, Billy Burnett and Rick Vito, but the new incarnation was short-lived. A few years later, Stevie left the band too. During this time, Stevie was having issues with her health. Newly sober, her psychiatrist had prescribed her the anxiety pill Klonopin in large doses. She gained 50 pounds and speaks of not remembering years of her life. She says at that time, 8 years of my life were destroyed. Stevie is very frank about this time of her life and how Klonopin, in her opinion, is much worse than cocaine. She detoxed in 1993 and has been clean ever since. In 1992, Lindsay, Stevie, and the rest of Fleetwood Mac reunited on stage for the first time in 10 years for Bill Clinton's inauguration. They performed one song, Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow, Don't Stop, It'll Soon Be Here. And if you've ever seen the video, it is the like most awkward, whitiest white room of white people dancing really awkwardly white. Rumor is the song Blue Denim from Stevie's solo album Street Angel is about that night. In a radio interview in Pittsburgh, Stevie said about the song that it's, quote, about this guy who came into my life but left just as quickly. And his eyes were that intense. And then it just makes you, even if you didn't know him, you'd go like, wow. And you could be the toughest person, but those eyes would make you be whatever he wanted you to be. One of the most revealing lyrics in the song is this. I knew him another way, I knew him another day. In some ways, he'd forgotten me. In many ways, he got to me. I turned away so he couldn't see. I turned away, it could never be. I never thought he could walk away, but I lost him again yesterday. But Stevie wasn't to lose Lindsay for too long. Even though Lindsay walked away from Fleetwood Mac and Stevie that night, they were to all meet up again 5 years later for the dance. So this brings us full circle to Silver Springs, when Stevie was finally able to unleash over 20 years of pent-up anger towards her former lover. The dance was a huge success, and everyone was captivated by Lindsay and Stevie's dynamic on stage. Stevie was quoted as saying, you know, when Lindsay and I go back and forth on the songs that were written between the two of us, for that moment, we are back in love again. Performance was mostly a sham, though. Lindsay was about to become a father for the first time with his girlfriend and future wife, Kristen. And Stevie later admitted their onstage flirting was mostly fun. She said, we could actually walk on stage and have our own little almost love affair and have the audience go, oh my God, they're getting back together. And we'd be like, they're falling for it. You know, we would totally play it up. And we did. And we do. And we always will. This comment is different from other things she said about her onstage performance with Lindsay, but I don't know. It's hard to tell sometimes what's the truth. However, there's a little bit of evidence that maybe, just maybe, that Stevie had hoped that she and Lindsay could be something again. So around that time, she wrote a song called Thrown Down, which would later appear on Fleetwood Mac's final studio album, Say You Will, in 2003. The song is about two lovers reconnecting. Here are just a few of the lyrics. He fell for her again. She watched it happen. Every day, day by day. But more important, night by night. She watched it all come into play. He held her hands. She listened to what he had to say. You say you're sorry. Now you should walk away. But it's so overwhelming. You have nothing left to say. You can sit outside his door and wait. Well, you can dedicate your pain to him. Oh, thrown down like a barricade. Maybe now he could prove to her that he could be good for her. And they should be together. About just how much he never really told her. About how difficult it had been without her. Stevie has very clearly said this song is about Lindsay. She says it in interviews, and she said it in the documentary for the recording of the Say You Will album. Interestingly, there is a line in the song, a decision no one made, and now you're going home, that many Buckingham Knicks fans believe is about Kristen becoming pregnant. So Lindsay's first son was born in 1998. Lindsay and Kristen would marry in 2000, and then they would end up having two more kids. Stevie has said she knew their relationship was truly over the day his first child was born. In a 2003 Mojo magazine interview, sitting next to Lindsay, she said, "Now I just adore him. He is my love, my first love, and my love for all time. But we can't even be together. He has a lovely wife, Kristen, who I really like, and they're expecting their third child. The way he is with his children just knocks me out. I look at him now and just go, oh, Stevie, you made a huge mistake. But when we go on stage together, we are able to experience our love affair again and again and again for 2.5 hours, 4 times a week. There really isn't anybody else in my life. It wouldn't be good for me now anyways. I'm always away. But when hard times come over the next 20 or 30 years, when people we love die, he'll be the first person I'll call. Knowing that, I think he's been able to let go of all the nasty things that happened and realize that, like I said to him, Lindsay, you'll always have me. I'm always a phone call away. So you get it all." And fast forward to 17 years later, after Stevie likely fired Lindsay from the band, and Stevie isn't calling Lindsay. In fact, Lindsay's lawsuit against the band for breach of fiduciary duty, Stevie wouldn't even respond to Lindsay's calls. In his email to Mick Fleetwood about his firing, Lindsay said, quote, "After 43 years and the finish line so clearly in sight, it's hard to escape the conclusion that for the five of us to splinter apart now would be the wrong thing. At the moment, the band's heart and soul has been diminished, but our center, which has seen us through so much, is only laying dormant." Lindsay sincerely seems sad about being booted from the band, and reading his words makes it easy to feel sorry for him. However, having been a longtime Fleetwood Mac fan and having done a ton of research on this podcast episode, I know that Lindsay has often been one of the most mercurial members in the band, and possibly even violent. Knowing what the public knows now of the verbal, emotional, and physical abuse Carol Ann, and most likely Stevie, experienced with Lindsay, I don't blame her for booting him from the band. In interviews, it sounds like she's given him the benefit of the doubt for decades. And if him making fun of her at a benefit concert is the straw that broke the camel's back, good for her. Despite all the whitewashing they do about their relationship in interviews, the fact is they will probably still have very complex and unresolved feelings towards one another. And that will probably never change. Many of us can relate to the fact that there is an ex out there that we still care about, or who still gets our goat, or who we're still tied to in one way or another. That's what makes Lindsay and Stevie's love affair endlessly fascinating. Who knows what the future will bring for these two, and for Fleetwood Mac. The band just wrapped their recent Lindsay-less tour, and Lindsay just announced his first public performance since having emergency open heart surgery. He'll be performing at the Beale Street Festival in Memphis in May of 2020. I haven't found evidence that the band reached out to Lindsay after his near-death experience, and I know his wife Kristen has taken to Twitter to admonish the band. We shall see what happens in this never-ending saga of Stevie and Lindsay. If history tells us anything, they'll make up in a few years and perform on each other's solo albums or at a live show. Even though both are in their early 70s, and even with Lindsay's health scare, neither seem to be slowing down. Maybe one day they will actually be jovial senior citizens sitting side by side, regaling each other with stories from their past, as Stevie often fantasizes in interviews. But something makes me think they won't quite have their fairy tale ending. Well, to end on a happy note, in 2013, Lindsay wrote a rare, nice song about Stevie. It's called Sad Angel, and it was released as a digital download. While the lyrics are a bit cryptic, Lindsay says the song is indeed about Stevie. He told Rolling Stone, "I wrote that song about Stevie. She's always had to fight for everything. She was coming off a solo album and is in the process of reintegrating herself mentally in the band. And we're all warriors with a sword in one sort or another. She and I have known each other since high school. So I wrote, "Sad Angel, have you come to fight the war? We fall to earth together, the crowd calling out for more." All these years later, we are still writing songs that are dialogues for each other. This episode was written by me, sound design by Jonathan Luna, and the music was written by Michael Groner.